Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. Today, we're embarking on a really crucial exploration of two interconnected themes. First, the challenge of identifying counterfeit Christianity, and second, the stronghold of fear that can really impact our spiritual lives. This deep dive is for you, whether you're looking to strengthen your faith, understand the world better, or just, you know, gain some clarity in a pretty confusing landscape. We'll be pulling insights from two powerful messages by Pastor Tim Travis: Detecting Counterfeit Christianity Through Its Fruits and Overcoming the Stronghold of Fear.
Exactly. And Pastor Travis's sermons, they offer a robust, biblically grounded framework for, well, navigating deception and finding genuine peace. Our mission today is to delve into how to discern authentic faith, and then we'll pivot to understanding and conquering fear, a topic that, let's be honest, touches pretty much everyone today. We really aim to equip you with insights so you can walk with greater discernment and confidence.
Okay, so let's jump right into this idea of counterfeit Christianity. Pastor Travis opens his sermon with a really vivid analogy. He talks about, like, a patented, high-quality shoe cleaning product versus a cheaper knockoff that might look identical on the shelf.
Right. Or even, he mentions, a dollar store tape measure compared to a proper high-quality one. The standard matters.
Exactly. The sermon underscores that the standard and the substance matter immensely. Even when the outward appearance is, you know, incredibly convincing, what makes it so easy for us to get fooled by these imitations, even in spiritual things?
That's a great question, and it's precisely where the sermon focuses. The core warning comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, where Jesus himself cautions us, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." It's quite a stark picture.
It really is.
And the foundational insight here is, you shall know them by their fruits. Pastor Travis really unpacks this. He suggests it's not just about what someone says or even their impressive outward works, but the actual outcomes, the character, the impact, the genuine product of their lives and teachings. He points to that sobering thought that many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?"
Right, they list all these actions.
Yeah, but Jesus will declare, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This really highlights how deceptive outward appearances can be. True faith isn't just activity, it's about genuine relationship and alignment.
That raises a really challenging point for us, doesn't it? If outward actions aren't the ultimate measure. And Pastor Travis also emphasizes that our own internal compasses, our hearts, intuition, conscience, well, they're not reliable sources because, as Proverbs reminds us, the heart is wicked. What challenges does that pose for us when we're trying to discern truth?
It creates a significant challenge, definitely, because our natural inclination is often to trust our feelings or what feels right. The sermon's answer to this dilemma is clear. If our internal gauges are flawed, then our reliable standard has to come from an infallible source.
Okay.
That source, Pastor Travis explains, is the Bible, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. He likens it to that high-quality tape measure. It provides the absolute standard. Everything else gets measured against it. Our hearts, when they're genuinely submitted to the Holy Spirit, can be used by God. But they aren't the primary standard themselves. It's similar to his example of a mother's intuition. Powerful, yes, but still needs to be aligned with a higher objective truth.
Okay, that makes sense. So if we can't fully trust our internal feelings and we need this external objective standard, how does the sermon help us apply that? Pastor Travis really dives into describing these counterfeits, and he makes it clear they're not always easy to spot. He uses examples like, you know, Ponzi schemes, Charles Ponzi, Bernie Madoff.
Right, historical example.
Yeah, or even the story of Little Red Riding Hood, just zero discernment, as he puts it. He then breaks down several characteristics for us. One key trait he mentions is that they are pretenders. What does that really look like in a spiritual context?
Well, the sermon emphasizes that these pretenders have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, drawing from Titus chapter 1. They might profess to know God, but in works, they deny him.
Yeah.
So it's about a kind of superficial adherence to religious practices without genuine inner transformation or yielding to God's actual power.
Okay.
It's the difference between just going through the motions and experiencing a true life-changing faith.
That distinction, genuine transformation versus just lip service, that's critical for discernment. But Pastor Travis also points out they're not just subtle, they're often incredibly persuasive, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. He notes that these individuals often appeal strongly to emotions, a desire for deeper experience. But this experience can sometimes be disconnected from biblical truth. Now, from Pastor Travis's perspective, he highlights concerns about some Pentecostal and charismatic traditions for what he views as maybe an over-reliance on feelings over the foundational facts of belief and orderly conduct.
Mm-hmm.
He cites 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 there. What he describes as truly alarming, referencing 2 Peter chapter 2, is that these false teachers shall bring in damnable heresies.
Mm.
And he defines a damnable heresy as any teaching that, in his interpretation, fundamentally leads people away from salvation.
Wow, that's strong language.
It is. And as examples, he discusses concepts like works-based salvation, which he attributes to belief systems like Mormonism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Catholicism. In his view, these teachings deny the
specific theological distinction he's making there.
It sounds like he's also suggesting these deceptive teachings aren't always niche or obscure. He argues they're often quite predominant.
He does. Pastor Travis strongly emphasizes the teaching from Matthew chapter 7, that the broad way leads to destruction and many follow it, while the narrow way leads to life and few find it. His sermon reminds us that throughout history, biblical truth, as he interprets it, has often resided with the minority. He points to verses in Jeremiah 5 and Ezekiel where God sought a man seeking truth among the masses and, well, found none. It's a call not to be discouraged if you find yourself on a path less traveled if you believe it to be the true one.
Okay. And beyond being prevalent, Pastor Travis characterizes these counterfeits as pathological. He uses strong language, describing them as pathological liars. What's the root of that, according to his teaching?
He connects it directly to their spiritual father, the devil, referencing John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, they lie to get you to follow another Christ, citing 1 John chapter 2. From a sermon's viewpoint, this would include groups that deny Jesus' divinity or his messianic role.
Got it.
He also details how they lie to promote the idea that pleasure is first, which 1 Corinthians chapter 6 speaks against, leading to a lifestyle of self-gratification over God's will. And a truly striking connection he makes here involves the Greek word for sorceries in Revelation chapter 18.
Oh, yeah.
It's pharmakeia, the root of our word pharmaceuticals. Pastor Travis uses this to suggest that in a modern context, drugs can be seen as a form of seeking escape or fleeting satisfaction, similar to the deceptive spiritual promises of ancient sorcery. He draws a parallel to crises, like the fentanyl epidemic.
Wow, that linguistic connection between ancient sorcery and modern pharmaceuticals interpreted that way, that's quite thought-provoking. And he also says they lie by suggesting there are no consequences.
Exactly. They ignore that foundational principle from Galatians chapter 6. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The sermon powerfully illustrates this with the parable of the wheat and the tares, where Judgment Day will meticulously separate the true from the false. It's a vivid picture of ultimate accountability, you know, directly refuting that lie of consequence-free living.
Definitely. And finally, a fifth characteristic Pastor Travis highlights is that they are passive. It seems a bit counterintuitive, doesn't it? Compared to a ravenous wolf or pathological liar. How does passivity pose a danger?
It's a subtle danger, but a significant one. The sermon suggests that these counterfeits aren't necessarily pushy or argumentative about their own views,
mm-hmm.
but they're passive about contending for the faith, as Jude chapter 1 encourages.
Oh, okay.
They downplay the reality of spiritual warfare, often dismissing warnings as just negative preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Travis argues that this passive counterfeit approach discourages genuine preparedness for spiritual battles. It potentially leaves believers vulnerable because, as Jeremiah 12 implies, if we can't handle the foot soldiers, how will we contend with chariots? It's a call for vigilance and active engagement in one's faith.
It's fascinating how these two ideas really intertwine, the need for spiritual discernment and our universal struggle with fear, which naturally leads us into the second theme, overcoming the stronghold of fear. The sermon title itself is so impactful. We all experience fear, right? Whether it's a specific phobia or just a general anxiety about the world. Pastor Travis even mentions kind of humorously a centipede on his leg while studying, but he makes a crucial distinction about where fear comes from.
He certainly does. The foundational verse here is Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So this tells us that unnecessary or paralyzing fear doesn't originate from God.
Right.
However, the sermon clarifies there is a healthy fear, the fear of God itself. As Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, feeling him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. If we connect this to the bigger picture, fear entered the world with sin, right back in Genesis chapter 3. Our fallen world constantly gives us reasons for fear. Diseases, divorce, crime, wars, you name it. The sermon's key insight here is that we've often been deceived to fear the wrong things.
Okay, so if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, how does Pastor Travis suggest we actively overcome it? How do we truly align with the power, love, and sound mind he does offer? How do we put that into practice?
Well, the sermon outlines three critical steps for believers. First, he says, we must take refuge from the greatest of all dangers. For those who don't believe, this is God's wrath. A sobering point made in passages like Luke 12 and John 3. But for believers, accepting Christ delivers us from this ultimate fear, granting us the assurance of salvation, as 1 John chapter 5 states. That's the starting point for true peace.
That makes perfect sense. Deal with the ultimate fear first. What's the second step?
The second step is to learn to love God with all our hearts. 1 John chapter 4 tells us, perfect love casteth out fear. Now, this isn't a passive love, but an active, cultivated relationship with God. Pastor Travis explained, this requires us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, as Hebrews 12 encourages. Anything that hinders our spiritual race or distracts our focus from Jesus. It also means separating ourselves from what he calls that which stirs up fear and anxiety, drawing from Galatians chapter 5. This could be unsupportive relationships, negative media, dwelling on past traumas. It's about wisely choosing what we can change and trusting God with what we cannot.
So the sermon really emphasizes creating that clear, unhindered space for God. Makes sense. And what's the third vital step in this process of overcoming fear?
The third step is to trust him totally with every area of our lives. Proverbs chapter 29 wisely states, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." This trust requires acknowledging God in all our ways, as Proverbs 3 encourages, knowing he is working in us, as Philippians chapters 1 and 2 affirm, and knowing that he is carefully supervising our lives, as Romans 8 reminds us. Pastor Travis stresses that this total trust also involves obedience at all costs. We must seek God's direction through his word and prayer, even when it involves taking risks or enduring periods of what he calls proving from the Lord. Essentially, challenges or tests designed to refine and strengthen our faith, not undermine it.
So it sounds like when we truly commit to loving and trusting God in this way, we find a deep, abiding peace that replaces fear. Instead of fear, God gives us power to be who we're called to be.
Right.
Love to extend to others, even when it's hard.
Exactly.
And a sound mind, a disciplined right mind, grounded in the reality of God's word, rather than the delusions or anxieties of the world.
Precisely. It's really about being prepared for spiritual battle, understanding that true wisdom and discernment come from God, not from fleeting emotions or, you know, the broad path of the masses. And that genuine faith cultivates a spirit of courage and peace rather than allowing fear to become a stronghold in our lives.
Today, we've taken a deep dive into some really profound lessons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church. We've explored how to identify genuine faith by its fruits and how to actively overcome the stronghold of fear by embracing God's power, love, and sound mind.
Yeah, and this raises an important question for you, the listener. How might an increased discernment of counterfeit teachings in the world empower you to more fully embrace that power, love, and sound mind that God offers instead of fear? Maybe consider how these two concepts, discernment and overcoming fear, might work together in your own life to build a more resilient and authentic faith.
We certainly hope this deep dive has offered you valuable insights and maybe challenged your thinking a bit. To explore more sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church, which can continue to equip you in these areas, you can find them on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just visit faithwayfbc.com for more information.
Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. Continue to seek truth and trust in the one who offers a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.